Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know what that sound is? You love that.
Well, man, baby.
That's right. Talking sports with the 12 man. Welcome once again. Today is Wednesday, September the 14th, and as always, want to welcome you guys joining us. Talking sports with 12th man, you got yours truly, Andre Peterson, with Robert Ford, and we have a packed show tonight. Obviously, if you want to call into the show, the number is 424-243-9519. Once again, for those that are joining us, and as I mentioned, we're on Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz, so let's go ahead and jump into it. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Want to preview week two and also recap week one of the NFL, and we're going to do the same with college football on both fronts. Mr. Rob
Ford. We're getting right into the heart of football right now.
I know, it's a very exciting time. Do you want to go ahead and start out with college football, if you will? You want to go to pro football, or where do you want to start, if you will, as far as...
We can recap a little bit of college football from this past weekend and preview a few games. I mean, more so the marquee games, and you know, I guess the marquee game of this past weekend was the Alabama-Penn State game. And was very impressed with Bama. I thought they looked a lot better than they did in week one. And going on a road against a good team. Not a good Penn State. I don't think it's going to be a team continuing to win the Big Ten. But they're a solid ball club. But got to be impressed with Alabama's defense. I mean, they looked like they might have about three or four first-round picks on that defensive side of the ball. And I thought they improved from week one to week two. And they're definitely deserving of that number two ranking in the country as of right now.
Yeah, good point. You know, obviously, Alabama, they just keep reloading, don't they? Nick Saban is always doing a good job of recruiting, if you will. And they look definitely ready to try to make a run for the title, even though you know, everyone's picking Oklahoma. But we'll see what they have. And like you said, with Penn State, they seem like they're kind of a young team. I'm not sure how they're going to do moving forward, if you will. But as you know, SEC kind of rules in the South where we are at. So no offense to the Pac-12 out there. Obviously, Pac-12 has some strong contenders too, but. You know, they look like Alabama definitely looks like they're reloading, if you will. Obviously, go ahead. I was going to let you finish your thought here before I talk about Georgia, South Carolina, or anything else that you had to talk about there.
Oh, yeah, we can move on to Georgia, South Carolina. That was definitely one of the games I would have liked to kind of touched on a little bit. Based on what I saw of the game, it looks like Georgia was able to move the ball, control the game quite a bit. If it wasn't for some turnovers and mistakes, kind of cost them a little bit. And I actually picked Georgia to win the SEC East this year based on their weak SEC schedule. And I thought this was one of those games that if they did win, I mean, it was basically a shoe-in for them to win the East and the SEC. But with them losing, I mean, they still have a shot. And, you know, South Carolina could very well lose two games. But Georgia does not have to play Alabama, LSU, or Arkansas. Their schedule is set up for them to really kind of win the East. And if they were to beat South Carolina, it would almost have been a lock. But now they would need South Carolina to at least lose one more game than they do because they will automatically lose a tiebreaker with South Carolina. But it'll be interesting. I think Georgia will definitely get their first win against Coastal Carolina this weekend. And, and South Carolina, of course, still has Florida, and there's a couple of those teams to play in that Western Division as well.
Yeah, they have, as mentioned, we talked about this a little bit earlier about how South Carolina, what a game. You know, Georgia, for some reason, is kind of sliding. Mark Richt is definitely on a hot seat if you are a Georgia fan. A couple stats that they had that last couple of years that have been doing good as far as schedules. And I don't know what to say. Like you said, they have a very weak schedule. They're not playing Alabama, as we mentioned, not playing LSU this year. So it's definitely something that they better write the ship real fast. But, you know, Coastal Carolina can come in and they can get back on schedule, if you will. And, I mean, like you said, you know, Georgia
Coastal Carolina.
Well.
Coastal Carolina, then they get Ole Miss the following week. I definitely think they will get these two victories next 2 weeks and even up their record at 2-2 and go 1-1 in the SEC. They will just kind of have to see where they go from there the rest of the season. And we'll see where they kind of fall in. Another big SEC matchup was Auburn-Mississippi State. Another game was close, went down on the wire. That Auburn was able to pull out. I actually predicted Mississippi State would go on the road and upset them, but I was wrong on that one. And Auburn pulled it out in the end at home. And both of those teams are still in the top 25.
Uh-huh. What do you think about Mississippi State? I mean, this is kind of going on a little tangent here because, you know, Dan Mullen is doing a good job down there. He's just not quite there yet. But he's definitely starting to get his athletes in there, and I think in the next couple of years, or probably even next year, they're definitely going to be a team that you're going to have to keep an eye on, if you will.
Yeah. Well, they're buying into his program. They're buying into his system, his style of play. He doesn't quite have the athlete that Alabama and LSU has, but he, you know, he's definitely coaching those guys up to compete with those guys. And I think tomorrow night is, you know, I think it's the second biggest game in the college football this weekend and the biggest game in the SEC this weekend with LSU going on the road to Mississippi State tomorrow night. And I think we'll kind of see, you know, how far the Mississippi State program has come. They haven't beaten LSU since 1999. And of course, I'm an LSU fan, so I'm pulling for the Tigers to go on the road and get a win. And but I think Mississippi State is definitely a worthy opponent, and it's a game that LSU definitely has to take very seriously. We're going on the road, and hopefully win. I've been pretty impressed with LSU the first 2 weeks at sea. I know this past weekend we had Northwestern State. You know, LSU was able to beat them 49-3, and but you know it is Northwestern State. I think it's a big game. It's a big game tomorrow night. I think it's, like I said, the biggest game in the SEC this weekend and the second biggest game in the country this weekend as well.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the biggest game. As you know, it's going to be number one Oklahoma going against number five Florida State, little Big 12 versus ACC. You know, that's going to be very, very big.
What's
game.
Left of the Big 12, we should say, huh?
What's left of the Big 12, yeah, at this juncture. You know, from a lot of people, if you are from both sides, you know, if you're Oklahoma, you definitely want to keep your stranglehold on that number one position. And if you're Florida State, not only that, you know, I know they've been in conversation as far as not only winning the ACC, but well, definitely winning the ACC, excuse me. But you know they're definitely out there looking in as far as being a contender for the national championship game. So what do you think about you know both teams' chances here? Starting with Florida State, do you think they realistically have a shot of beating Oklahoma?
I actually do believe Florida State has a great chance of winning this football game. I mean they're at home, and it would not surprise me. Florida State pulls this game out. I mean, I think Jimbo Fisher has done a great job replacing Bobby Bowden. And I think he's they're starting to get the players that they used to get. And so he's done a heck of a job with recruiting at Florida State. And I would not be surprised. I think I'm going to pick Florida State to win this game by a field goal. And upset Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm going to go with Florida State at home. To upset Oklahoma by about a field goal, somewhere in the ballpark of a, you know, 30-27 kind of ball game. And I think this will be the only game that Oklahoma loses during the regular season, and I definitely still think Oklahoma will win the Big 12 championship as well. And still could possibly be competing for a national title by the end of the season with a one-loss record.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of real. Selfishly, I hope that for my conference, basically, I hope that they do a good job for Florida State and actually beat Oklahoma, just because, you know, it'll give us some more props, if you will. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm kind of pulling for Florida State, if you will, to kind of upset, and if you will, and kind of make that move to overtake Oklahoma. Bob Stoops, unfortunately, is starting to get a reputation of not coming through in big games, so I'm sure he'll have his guys ready. But definitely, it's going to be a great game, if you will, and definitely looking forward to that this Saturday. I got a quick Twitter question, believe it or not, Rob.
Okay.
From the West Coast, and they're talking about any predictions on the Pac-12, and who do you think will be the top three? So,
top three teams in the Pac-12 this year?
Top three teams in the Pac-12. Yeah, that's the question, if you will.
Okay. Yeah, I like to take a shot of that. I think Stanford is going to wind up being the best team. I just think Andrew Luck will carry that team. I don't think they have the most talent of the teams in the Pac-12, but I just think he's such a great quarterback. He can elevate the rest of his team. I see Stanford as being the best team in that conference. I think Oregon is number two. I know a lot of people thought Oregon would be number one prior to the season, but I think Oregon has some deficiencies along the offensive line. They have to replace a lot of guys from last season, even though they have the skill positions. But I still think in the trenches is where, you know, could possibly hurt Oregon. I think they're the second-best team in the Pac-12. This year, but of course Oregon and Stanford are in the same division in the Pac-12 as well. And USC is not eligible for the Pac-12 championship due to probation, but I think they're the third best team in the conference. And USC still has the personnel, and definitely they have the second best quarterback on their roster. I mean, I'm sorry, the second best quarterback in the Pac-12 behind Luck. And possibly the third best quarterback in the country behind Luck and Landry Jones. And those guys could very well be 1, 2, 3 when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL draft coming up in April. So that's my top three of the Pac-12. I don't know if you want to take a shot at it, Andre, but that's kind of where I see the three best teams in the Pac-12 right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely right on the same page there. You know, definitely. Luck has been incredible for all my Stanford fans out there. Yeah, we're going to show him a lot of love. Possibly number one ticket when he comes out of the draft. So, my father-in-law had a chance to go have dinner with him tonight, so he was just in awe as far as him dropping back and looking off all these guys, just being a junior quarterback, you know, just the incredible talent that he already has. This guy's going to be ready to go. As you mentioned, Oregon, as everyone predicted, was going to be, we thought they were going to be like 1-2. Oklahoma was up there, and Oregon was pretty high as far as in the rankings. But as you mentioned, a lot of offensive linemen have left. They got kind of a little notch getting beat by LSU there. But, as you mentioned, they're going to keep playing that style. They have to get a little bit more physical moving forward and to make some moves, if you will, but they're up there as well. We've got some people that are still hitting me up on Twitter. They're West Coast guys, if you will.
Really quick, though, I'll give a sleeper team in the Pac-12, too. Watch Arizona State.
Arizona State. Well, you're not making my Cal folks happy out there, but I know they're
watch
big
Arizona
Cal
State out there in the Pac-12.
Okay. So no thoughts on Cal, if you will? You don't think Cal's going to be doing anything as far as them being on the if you will?
I think Cal, Jeff Pepford is one of the best offensive minds in college football. I just don't think they have the personnel this year. I mean, they'll be a bowl team, no doubt about that. But I just don't see them being in the running for a Pac-12 championship. But they're definitely a bowl team. I'm sure they'll win about 8 games or so this year.
I hope that makes our Twitter folks from the West Coast a little happy there. Good deal. All right, well, let's switch gears here. We're about 15 minutes in the show, kind of halfway. Let's kind of talk about some recapping week one of the NFL. Obviously, I missed you last week. I'm going to talk about your Saints and their incredible comeback, if you will. They didn't quite pull it out versus the Packers. We'll touch briefly on the Falcons and Chicago, if you will. But, obviously we can recap the biggest games as well, touch about our teams, you know, talk about the, you know, Tom Brady and his 517 yards passing, which was an incredible feat, and possibly even shadow Trusinko and Teddy Bruschi and the Twitter war, if you will. So, floor is yours, story, where you want to go with that. I don't know if you want to recap that or you want to just be like me and we kind of forget that, but and then talk about it some big week two matches that are coming up, if you will.
Yeah, we could talk about a few of those games from this past weekend and move on to this weekend's games. Of course, tip your hat to Tom Brady, incredible performance on Monday night against the Dolphins. I don't know if it's the Dolphins' secondary is that bad or what the New England passing game was that good. Or maybe, I guess it's a little bit of both. But I guess you got to tip your hat, give credit where credit is due. And I'll comment on Cam Newton, even in the loss, was pleasantly surprised by his performance. And I think he played an incredible game. I even got a chance to watch some of it on NFL replay last night just so I can kind of be abreast of his performance before talking about it tonight. And sat there in the pocket, delivered the ball confidently, and I would have to say I was pretty impressed. And I know Carolina is in our division. I don't think that's a team we can sleep on, but you know, I know they just lost John Beeson for the season. I know it's going to hurt them defensively, losing their best player. So there was a couple of, you know, highlights before we get into our Saints and of course, your Falcons, of course. And but, yeah, the Tom Brady and Cam Newton, even in the loss, you have to be impressed with what Cam Newton was able to do in his first NFL.
And I was going to say that real quick, just to back up that thought, too. I know I was listening to a lot of comments, a lot of analysts, and they're talking about a lot of guys, you know, whenever they get a rookie quarterback in there, they're kind of throwing the kitchen sink at him. All the things are back, talking about, man, we're going to get some picks on this guy. And, you know, I think they were kind of playing up on him, and, you know, they let Steve Smith get behind, you know, them twice a couple times and see Cam Newton kind of throw it out. But I think that kind of made those guys really realize, uh-oh, this guy is definitely somebody that's, you know, we're going to have to keep an eye on. I mean, as you mentioned, he's just a rookie. And you can only imagine if he had the full offseason to kind of see him put that work in and how much better he could be. And I'm not saying he's going to be Peyton Manning-like, but, you know, I'm sure he'd be a little bit further along. But very pleasantly surprised, as you mentioned, his progress in the game. And for having a rookie to have, what, 422 yards passing, which I think that's a record, if you will, that's just an amazing step for him to come out, you know, obviously. So a lot of big games, a lot of big quarterbacks won a lot of yards, too. So, you know, I don't know if it's indicative of the defenses, if you will, or just, you know, I don't know. It's just it's interesting, if you will, you know, as mentioned. So, you know, a lot of things going on. But just to touch base, and, you know, let's talk about your team because I'm going to segue into the Falcons and obviously the big game with Michael Vick coming back on Sunday night, if you will.
Oh, yes. Of course, the Saints in Green Bay, I thought it was a great game for television. If you weren't a fan of either one of those teams, I thought you were entertained by the football game. Went down to the wire. Of course, the Saints did not do enough defensively to slow Aaron Rodgers down, and I know that's easier said than done. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers is right up there with Tom Brady right now. It's the best quarterback in the game. The guy just has pinpoint accuracy. And Green Bay just has so many weapons. I mean, they're very hard to defend. And like I said, it's easier said than done to slow them down, but the Saints did not do enough to slow them down. They weren't physical enough on defense. That being said, I think the Saints wasted a few opportunities and could have still very much won that game. I know to pull out a Jim Mara quote, coulda, shoulda, woulda. But I just go back to a few plays that I'm sure the Saints would like to have back. Of course, early in the game, the Marcus Colston fumble, I think, cost them, give Green Bay the ball in good field position, and they were able to jump on the Saints 14-0. And the kind of Saints were playing catch-up the rest of the night. Then had an opportunity with a fourth and inches. We really just needed about six chain links. And wasn't crazy about the Sean Payton call there. With doing a play-action pass, it didn't work. I think, you know, when you got the two best offensive guards in the game, you know, I think you should be able to get six chain links, even if it's just a quarterback sneak.
Right.
You know, yeah, so that was a little disappointing. I thought the Saints could have converted that into a touchdown. And by the end of the game, they would have just needed a field goal to win the game, you know. But like I said, it's coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, I'm sure, you know, Sean Payton even said it in the press conference. He would like to have that play back. But I mean, they had, you know, they didn't do enough defensively. And then, of course, there are a few plays offensively that they would like to have back that could have possibly pulled out a 43-42 thriller.
Yeah. Like I said, it was definitely it was a great game for those starting out. So it wasn't. I don't think the Saints should be ashamed. I mean, obviously, you don't want moral victories; you want wins. In the words of Mike Singletary, no, I want winners, if you will. But you know, in the words of Mike Singletary, there. But it's just interesting. I guess can I segue into this, or are you kind of finished making?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, okay, good deal. Because I was going to say, very interesting, you know, and this is going to be a good point. Moving forward, because you guys are playing the Bears in week two, if you will. I had a feeling we were going to be in trouble as a Falcons fan because, yes, you know, the offseason, our main focus was about getting explosive and adding Julio Jones and all the press and the trades up, you know. So, you know, we're going into the game, and for us to score 12 points was not something that we wanted to see. But the commentators were making a good point. They were basically saying that, you know, the Bears were no slouch. I mean, as much as we want to give Jay Cutler a lot of criticism and whatnot, the Bears have a really, really great defense. And they're used to playing explosive teams, you know, and obviously the Green Bay is in a division. So I think the last couple of games they played Green Bay, you know, Green Bay has scored like 17 to 20-something points, you know, so. You know, this is a team that, let's not sleep on the Bears, and I'm not saying that they're going to be all that, but defensively, they're going to expand some games. Now, that being said, I'm very curious to see how they play up against a great offense like the Saints. Now, on the secondary point, as mentioned, because you're looking back, and as a Falcons fan, you know, we're kind of like, what's going on? But I just wanted to let you know that you know, let's see how the team like the Saints do against a team like the Bears, because defensively, I don't think that we in the NFC, in the NFC South, we're used to having defenses that are that physical. So that's something that we're going to have to definitely adapt to as we, you know, I'm talking, you know, as a Falcon fan, if you will, you know, to kind of move forward, because that was a disappointing fact. If I can segue that into, I know we got 7 minutes to go here. If I can segue that into talking about the big matchup between, obviously, Michael Vick is coming back to Atlanta to play the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. Kind of nervous here. Everyone in Atlanta, this is kind of getting a big deal. We're kind of drawing some lines racially, if you will, which is, I don't think should be the case, but which does. And I got to say, everyone I've listened to 790 and certain sports talk shows, if you will. And the biggest thing that I have to say is that if you're a Falcon fan, you're going to be a Falcon fan. I mean, there are certain people that are fans of Michael Vick, and that's what causes a lot of problems, if you will. You know, someone made another good example, too. Like, if you have a pretty girlfriend and she's gone, she's dating somebody else, you want your new girlfriend to be just pretty as the old one. And that's kind of how we feel as Falcon fans. You know, you see Michael Vick, it's kind of tearing up the league in Philadelphia. You're like, man, we want Matt Ryan to be just as good as Michael Vick. And you got to understand that Michael Vick and Matt Ryan are totally different quarterbacks. Yes, Michael Vick is on the cusp of being an MVP candidate last year, if you will, but he's not there yet. We're kind of hanging our hat on him to make those strides. He's only in year four in the league. You know, obviously, Drew Brees is been in the league just as long, longer. So, and see his dramatic comeback. We can only hope and wish that Matt Ryan can become somewhat like Drew Brees. Not, you know, not say he's going to be Drew Brees, but, you know, in that top echelon of the quarterback. So, it's going to be interesting. Hopefully, we'll be prepared. I don't think we're going to get beat as bad as Chicago. I can only hope. But that's Andre's little segue. Robert, I apologize. I'm going to let you have the last couple 5 minutes here. Say what you have to say. We'll wrap up the show, if you will. Thank you, sir.
Oh, that's no problem. Yeah, I think that is definitely a game that a lot of people are looking forward to watching this coming weekend with Philadelphia going into Atlanta and the return of Michael Vick into Atlanta. And it should be an interesting game. Atlanta is a very good team at home. I know Matt Ryan, as a starting quarterback, has not lost that often as at home. But I know Atlanta's been a very good team at home. So it should be, you know, it should be a very interesting game. I think it should be an entertaining game. And I mean, Philadelphia looks really good right now. I don't know. Do you have a prediction on the game?
I'm scared, man. I'm going to predict that we're gonna pull it out against all my fiber. I'm going to say it's going to be 27-30 Falcons. But we'll see how it plays out. That's Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That's the heart. That's the heart prediction. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You know, the Saints have a big game this weekend as well against the Bears, and you know, obviously, you saw firsthand how good the Bears are looking. And I guess we forget the Bears were in the NFC Championship game last year.
Yeah,
and
they lost to the Packers. Yep.
Yeah, and even in the NFC Championship game, they held Green Bay to 21 points, and even though they lost, they held Green Bay to 21 points. And you saw how the Saints' defense got shellacked against Green Bay, and you saw how Green Bay put up 40-some points against the Falcons in the playoffs, too. So I guess you have to be impressed with the Bears' defense and what Lovie Smith has been able to do there. So, yeah, I definitely see the Saints as I think it's one of those games that would definitely be a tough game. The good thing is the Saints will be at home. And the Bears have had the Saints' number over the years, but we've always had to play them in Chicago. So
wow,
we kind of
wow.
feel good we're finally getting them at home.
as much as I don't like to admit this, I am pulling for the Saints in this game because, you know, revenge number one. You do have to watch out because I'm kind of curious to see what the Saints do against a great defense like the Bears. And don't sleep on Jay Cutler, too. They always say year two in Mike Marks' system is going to change some heads. I'm thinking that, you know, Jay Cutler's going to throw a couple of interceptions, but he kept it together, and he definitely kept him in the game. So,
but that's been the history of Jay
game.
Cutler. I mean, he could look really great, and he can have a down game. But I think overall he's not a great quarterback, but I think he's a good quarterback. And I think he's like in that second tier of quarterbacks in the league. So he's definitely, I mean, you know, he's helped Denver win a lot of games. Helped Chicago get to the NFC Championship game. So he's definitely a capable quarterback, you know. And our prayers and thoughts go out to Brian Urlacher and his family.
Yes.
You know, he lost his mom on today. And I know he's, you know, I don't know if he'll be back to play on Sunday. But I'll definitely our prayers and thoughts go out to Urlacher and his family as well. And,
good job.
I know we have a lot of West Coasters that have been typing in, and I know another big game this weekend is the Chargers going on the road to Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, Chargers going on the road to New England. And that's another big game this weekend. I kind of think New England will pull that out at home. And I think it might be one of those games that could be high scoring as well.
What about San Francisco, real quick? San Francisco did a great job whooping up on Seattle, if you will. They're going to playing the Cowboys. Any thoughts about the
I picked up their defense in fantasy football too. Well, I played them last weekend against Seattle. I like that matchup.
Okay.
Yeah. So San Fran. I think I think Seattle's going to have some trouble this year, and I think. When we did our predictions, I predicted Arizona to win that division. I still stand by that. But I do think Dallas is going to go on the road and beat San Fran this weekend. Unfortunately, to our West Coast listeners, that's my prediction. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But I think Dallas will go on the road and beat San Francisco. this weekend. Even Oakland out there, for the Oakland Raiders fans out there on the West Coast, you got to win, but I still think they will even go on the road to Buffalo and get a loss this weekend as well. And Buffalo could surprisingly be 2-0. Yeah, so we might have a few surprises here early in the season.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, like I said, obviously, you know, unless Tony Romo makes any more mistakes, and I know I've got him as my quarterback anyway, but, you know, we'll see how everything plays out. So I think it's going to be that's the exciting time about, you know, early season games. I mean, it's only one game in. Let's not get too crazy for all those that are falling off. Like, you know, if you
No time to panic.
Like, you were, you know, Packer fan, you know, they went 10-6 last year, so, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So, you know, and we went 13-3. So, you know, a couple teams lost in, you know, those first couple of games, and, you know, whoever gets hot near the end of the season definitely are going to be the people that you're going to keep an eye on too. But, you know, it's some good times, and, you know, we're always here to definitely get feedback and thank our fans. I know we kind of got caught up so much talking, you know, about a lot of things too, so we didn't get a chance to take a lot of calls, but I know I'll get, like, some tweets and stuff like that too. So we thank everyone for listening in. As always, don't forget to call into the show and share any thoughts. I know we're kind of wrapping up, kind of, you know, past the time here. And we have a lot of fun. So I don't know, Rob, if you want to say anything to kind of wrap up the show since we're kind of extra here. But like I said, we thank everyone I'm getting some hits here as far as that. But, yeah, if you had anything, emails, tweets, definitely let us know. And we'll try to get those questions in as much as we can. So I'll turn the show over to Rob as far as any wrap up or anything else you want to say for next week or any other thoughts that you have, if you will.
Well, let's look forward to another great weekend of college football and some pro football. And join us again next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to talking to some more great football, previewing this weekend's games, reviewing this weekend's games, and previewing the next week. Join us next week.
That's right. Thank you, guys. And don't forget, it's funny, Rob, I got a quick little last little note. I got my father-in-law here from San Francisco, and he said he's going to call in whenever the when and if the 49ers beat the Cowboys. So, Dad, give a shout out whenever that happens. We'd love to hear from you to see if kind of make us get our words, if you will, too. But
I hate the Cowboys. I would love for the 49ers to beat the Cowboys. There's nothing personal.
it's good. I mean, for all the Cowboy lovers out there, you know, it's just, you know, we're granted assault too, because you guys have been good for so long too. We got to have some new blood in there. But anyway, as Rob mentioned, you know, thank you guys for joining. 424-925-9519 is the number to call in. We're here every Wednesday. Give us a shout out for Robert Ford. I am Andre Peterson signing off. Don't forget to check out the post, Facebook page, all that stuff. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Getting that down, Robert. Good job, sir.
Oh, yeah, man. You're the one doing it big.
Have fun. Good job. All right. Well, like I said, it's a beautiful day. Thank you for listening in and all that jazz. And I guess we'll do it again next week, as always, man. So I was a little tired, man, so I'm glad we were able to pull that off, man, because I had a long night last night. So
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, man, I was like, man, I was a long day at work, man, so I've been ripping around. But good job, as always, sir. We're getting better.
Oh, yeah, man.
Eventually, we're going to have to shop and see how we play out. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, if you will.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to it.
But seriously, I'm kind of curious to see how you guys do next week, man, because they were talking about how the Bears are used to playing pretty explosive offenses, man, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The Bears have had the Saints number.
I mean, we played them three times since Sean Payton has been the coach, and the Bears have beat us all three times. I mean, albeit all three of those games were in Chicago, and two of them were close where we could have pulled it out, but but they have kind of had the same number, and I think we're kind of excited to finally getting to play them on our home turf, and we'll see what happens, but I know they have a fierce pass rush, and we're going to have to do something with Julius Peppers over there. We're going to have to chip him. Probably going to have to keep an extra guy over there almost at all times. And hopefully Sean Payton has a good game plan ready.
That's funny, too.
To go against these Bears.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because Sean Payton had a choice between, at first, I guess he had an opportunity to go coach the Packers and or the Saints. And he actually, the Packers decided to go with Mike Mularkey. Mike Mularkey.
Mike McCarthy.
And then, obviously then Sean Payton ends up getting the Saints job. So I think that's kind of interesting how everything played out, man. But,
he actually interviewed for the Green Bay job. He was actually going
really
for the Green Bay job first.
Yep, he really wanted that. Yeah, and so mm-hmm. sometimes that's
now,
happened away. Go ahead.
The year before he accepted the Saints job, Oakland offered him the head coaching job.
He didn't want to go there, obviously.
I think he was about to accept it, and I think Bill Parcells talked him out of it and said, you're not quite ready yet. And that kind of led to that. Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history, Sorry about Maya barking in the background. I got to get her focused. Yeah, but that's it, man. Like I said, man, good show, sir, as always, man. It's always a pleasure, man. I definitely had fun, man. So we'll have to let me get back to my guests. I'm not making fun of us, man. But no, they enjoy the show, man. So we'll have to see how everything plays out, too. So,
Yeah, sounds good.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. Like I said, I'll put this on the archive, or I'll send it on Dropbox, and you can take a listen. I think this is one of our better ones, and we'll go from there, man.
Sounds good, man. We'll pick up again next week.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk soon. All right.
All right.
All right. Bye.